blessing that is. I'd like you to take the Word of God, please, and turn with me in the New Testament to the book of Hebrews, chapter number 11. Hebrews chapter number 11. As we stand to our feet in honor of God's Word, we're going to read two verses of Scripture concerning one particular man. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 5, "By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him." I want you to take note of what the Bible says in verse number 5. Maybe you might want to underline it where it says, "He had this testimony." And I want to preach on that thought this morning. He had this testimony. Let's pray. Father, we thank you. Thank you for the time you've given to us to be in this place. Our hearts have already been stirred, and what a blessing it's been to be here. Music has just lifted us up to thee. And we're thankful for that. Now, Lord, we come to the time of the preaching of the Word of God, and we realize the emphasis you place on that in the Bible. So, Lord, today I pray that you'll work in our lives through thy Word. Lord, I pray that you'll help me. Lord, I pray that you'll enable me. Give me the unction that I need, the power to preach the Word of God. Lord, I pray that thy Spirit, Lord, would come through, and Lord, that no one would recognize me or see me, but Lord, that we would hear from heaven. Lord, I pray that for anyone that's here today without Christ as Savior, that this would be the day that they realize their need of thee and they trust thee. For those of us that are saved, I ask, oh Lord, that you'll encourage us through your Word to go to greater lengths, to go further. Lord, to do thy precious will with our lives, to reach others with the gospel, and to make a difference in the day and the hour that we're living. Now, Lord, we'll thank you for what's accomplished, and we'll give you the glory. For it's in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen and amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, here in the book of Hebrews, chapter 11, we know this is the great hall of faith. There's a lot of great men and ladies to read of here, no doubt about it. A lot of wonderful things that could be said. But today I want us to see this man named Enoch. What a man. What a man. We look at him and we see something about his life, and we see some things said about him that's not said about others. The Bible says before his translation, before God took him out of this world, that he had this testimony. I want you to understand today that we all have a testimony. Every person that has ever lived or ever shall live has a testimony, something that it witnesses to the life that we live. We could go back in the Bible and we could see the testimony of a lot of people. From the very first man, Adam, to the last that will ever be born, we can talk about testimonies and we can talk about people's lives. We think about Adam, we realize that he communed with God in the garden. What a precious time that must have been. But he sinned, didn't he? And now we all say that we have the Adamic nature, a sinful nature, if you will. Of course, we realize that this was truly a son of God, but he brought sin into the world. He allowed sin to come into the world. We read of Noah. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. And his family was the only converts that he had. Think about that. All those years, but he was chosen of God. And he found grace, the Bible says, in the eyes of the Lord. That's a pretty good testimony, isn't it? He found grace in the eyes of the Lord. I think about Saul of the Old Testament. The Bible says that Saul stood head and shoulders above the rest, and he initially considered himself to be small in his own eyes. But he started out okay. But then as he got power, he started thinking about how good he was and how mighty he was. He ended up at the end of his days, the end of his life, he ended up in the house of a witch seeking guidance from a witch. Think about that. He started out all right, but his life ends up with shame and disgrace and disappointment. And we think about David, that little shepherd boy. We'll be talking about him this week. Every night in Bible school, they'll be talking about the life of David as they journey through Jerusalem. And what a life David had. Keeping the sheep out in the field and becoming a king. Think about that. That's pretty good, isn't it? David sinned a great sin, though, didn't he? We all know that what that sin is. But I want you to know what the Bible says. The Bible says, of course, he asked the Lord to forgive him that sin, but the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. It's a pretty good testimony. You know what helps me to realize? That although we're all sinners, that God is so gracious and so merciful. And we find that David is a man after God's own heart. We can go and we can look at Solomon, David's son, wise and wealthy. And he received all this wisdom and all this wealth from God. But he married heathen and pagan women, and he allowed idolatry to interfere with the will of God in his life. And while we realize his great wisdom, we realize also his foolishness, don't we? And we see that what he missed out on by not staying true to God. We think about Joshua. I love the life of Joshua. He walked in the midst of a people and in a generation that would turn away, that would turn their back on God. He was a part of a generation. Think about it. He was a part of a generation that would continue to question God, that would say, would to God that we had died, or would to God that we had stayed in Egypt. He was a part of that generation. But he and Caleb alone trusted the Lord, and God used him to lead the next generation across the Jordan on dry ground to the promised land. And you know what his testimony was? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. He had this testimony. We could go on. There's so many others we could talk about. We could go to the New Testament and find some of the great characters there. Peter walked on water, but he denied the Lord thrice. But then he was mightily used of God on the day of Pentecost and in the New Testament church. In the New Testament, we read of a woman named Mary Magdalene who was filled with wickedness. But one day, she met the Lord Jesus Christ and she was filled with righteousness. We go on and we could talk about John the Baptist. The Bible says that he was as a reed not shaken with the wind. That was his testimony. What'd you come out to see? Somebody that would just move with the wind, that would just blow with whatever was going. But here's a reed that will not be shaken. That's his testimony. We talk about John the Beloved. He was exiled to Patmos, but he remained true to God. We can talk about Phoebe. That dear lady, that wonderful woman that had a testimony of helping the saints of God. We could go on and on and on. And then we think of the old Apostle Paul. What a man he was. His name was Saul. Unlike the Saul of the Old Testament, though, he started out pretty rough, but he ended up all right, didn't he? We see all these men, all these ladies. Time don't permit us to go through history and talk about others, even up through the day that we're living in. We could talk about the men and the women and all those different testimonies that people had. Many great testimonies, many wicked testimonies. But I want us to look today at this man named Enoch. I want us to see some things about him. Notice what the Bible says in our text today. The Bible says he had this testimony that he pleased God. Wouldn't you like to be able to come to the end of your days and say, and people will say this about you? He pleased God. She pleased God. What a great testimony. What a wonderful testimony that Enoch had. And I want to notice some wonderful things about the life of this one that pleased God. And maybe it'll help us in our life. Number one, I want you to see that Enoch walked with God. Enoch walked with God. Would you turn with me to the first mention of Enoch back in the Old Testament, to the book of Genesis chapter number 5? And I want you to see what the Bible says about this man Enoch. We see him mentioned first in verse number 18 of chapter number 5, where it talks about Jared lived 162 years and he begat Enoch. But I want you to go down and I want you to see verse number 21 where the Bible says in Genesis 5 verse 21, and Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And notice what the Bible says in verse 22. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Notice what the Bible says in verse 22. What's it say? Enoch walked with God. Notice what it says in verse number 24. Enoch walked with God. Now, when God places the emphasis somewhere, that's where we need to place the emphasis. And God is placing the emphasis on this fact that Enoch walked with God by putting it in here two times, and so very close together. And it's important to realize that Enoch lived in a time when the world was growing more and more wicked. The world was turning further and further away from God. But the Bible says in the midst of this generation of people that was walking away from God, Enoch walked with God. Gives us hope for today, doesn't it? We see all that's going on around us. We see all the wickedness and all the idolatry. We see churches throwing the truth away. We see people turning to lewdness and lasciviousness and wickedness and ungodliness. But I want you to know, dear friends, in the midst of it all, we can have this testimony that we please God if we'll walk with God. May the Lord help us to see that. It's important to realize that the Bible is talking about Enoch here walking with God and all these things. There's no doubt he made a decision at some point in his life to follow the Lord. How do I know that? Well, the Bible teaches us in the New Testament some wonderful things, but it shows us the error of all of our ways. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, chapter number 2, and verse 1 and 2, it says, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sin, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience." So all of us at some point have walked according to the course of this world. There's no doubt about it. And there's no doubt that Enoch had walked according to the course of this world. But we know that at some point we don't have his salvation experience. We don't have the record of the day that he put his faith in the Lord. But there was a point in his life where Enoch turned to God and by faith trusted him, put his faith in the Lord and trusted him. And the Bible says he walked with God. How do you walk with God? By trusting him and putting your faith in him. Dear friends, today that's what you have to do. If you're going to go to heaven, you're going to have to trust the Lord Jesus as your Savior. You're going to have to put your faith in what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary 2,000 years ago. By the way, you say, well, Jesus hadn't died. How did he do that? The Bible teaches us in Genesis chapter number 3 and verse 15 that God was going to send a Savior. And a lot of people put their faith in the Savior that was going to come. And they trusted the Lord. We have put our faith in the Savior that has already come and died on the cross. So we understand that Enoch was looking forward to the coming of Christ. We're looking backward at the coming of Christ and looking forward to His second coming. But we see back, Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He hadn't died when Enoch had put his faith in the Lord, but he still trusted God. And he walked with God. We need to understand, it's so very important. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. One of the things we know about him is that he walked with God. Number two, we know that he worked for God. He worked for God. In the New Testament, we find another thing about Enoch. And you can look with me in the book of Jude, right before the book of the Revelation. Jude, there's only one chapter in verses 14 and 15. Notice what the Bible says. The Bible says, "And Enoch, also the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him." Now, when we study the Bible, you're going to find that Enoch was the first prophet in the Bible. He had a son whose name was Methuselah. You know what Methuselah means? It means when he dies, it shall come, or it shall be sent. And Enoch named Methuselah that name because God had put it in his heart to do so. Because he was prophesying of a future event. Methuselah says when means when he dies it shall come or it shall be sent. It's speaking of a sure judgment. And that judgment was going to be a flood. It was going to flood the earth. What an amazing story. We look at this and we see in this very fact that the long-suffering of God and the mercy of God in the fact that Methuselah lived how long? 969 years. Think about that. The oldest man ever. Lived longer than anybody. Why would he live 969 years? Because God knew what he had told Enoch. When Methuselah dies, judgment is coming. And by the way, when Methuselah died, it's when the flood came. You can add it up. Don't take a Bible scholar to do that. Methuselah, Lamech. We go on down and we see there was Enoch, Methuselah, Lamech, Noah, flood. It all adds up. The first prophet in the Bible was Enoch. He worked for God. He was not afraid to say what God told him to say. He was not afraid to speak the truth concerning the things. And when Methuselah died, the flood came. When Methuselah died, judgment came. And God was giving mankind every opportunity to put their faith in Him. That's why it was 969 years. That's why He lived so very long. Because God is a God of righteousness and a God of judgment, but He truly is a God of love and a God of mercy. And He was giving men and women every opportunity to put their faith in Him. But they just kept saying no. They kept saying no. They kept saying no. Noah began to build the ark and they began to laugh, began to mock, began to make fun. Methuselah died. The flood came. You know what happened? They refused God and God judged the world and sent a flood. Enoch was the first prophet. He worked for God. But this passage that we read of here in the book of Jude is a passage where Enoch is talking about the prophecy of the second coming of Christ. Think about that. God revealed not only to him a judgment that was going to come, that was going to flood the world. He revealed a judgment that's going to come later when the Lord Jesus comes and He brings down judgment upon all the world. And the Bible says He's going to execute judgment upon all to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against Him. Think about it. He was given a truth. As Enoch described the promise of the judgment of the flood, God also allowed him to see this final judgment, if you will, upon this earth. This one that's yet to come. But just as sure as the first one happened, so will the next one. He worked for God. Jesus is going to return. He's going to return to the earth and He's going to execute judgment. Enoch had this testimony. He pleased God. Why did he please God? Because he walked with God. Then he worked for God. He did with his life what God wanted him to do. But I want you to see, finally this morning, Enoch went with God. Back in the Old Testament, Genesis 5, verse number 24. The Bible says, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. For God took him. Enoch walked with God, and was not, for God took him. All the way back to where we was talking about how he pleased God, the Bible says in Hebrews 11, verse number 5, the Bible puts it like this, by faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Enoch is one of only two humans that went to heaven without dying. Of course, the other one was Elijah. You remember when a chariot of fire and horses appeared and he went up by a whirlwind into heaven. But this man Enoch was a great man. A wonderful man. He pleased God with his life. He had a testimony. Many people, many Bible scholars believe that Enoch is a picture of the church being raptured. He lived in wicked times, and he lived in a time where people were refusing the Lord, and God translated him. God took him out of here. And he was not. Somebody said that the Americans have their astronauts, the Russians have their cosmonauts, and God has their was nots. He was not, for God took him. And I want you to know there's going to be a day when there's going to be more than just two that's going to be translated from this world. That's not going to go by way of the grave. That's going to be raptured out of this world. The Bible says in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter number 15, verse 51 and 52, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." And then the Bible says in the book of 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and verse number 16, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with the shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Just as Enoch was translated, just as Enoch was called out of this world, there's a day coming when the Lord Jesus is going to return in the clouds, and He's going to call the church, the bride, up out of this world. Dear friends, we need to realize the truth of all of this, that the Lord Jesus is coming again, and we need to be ready to meet Him. Whether it's by way of the grave or by way of the rapture, dear friends, we need to be ready. If it's by way of the grave, I want you to ask yourself this question. What is your testimony? Enoch had this testimony, that he pleased God. That was his testimony. What if Joe Shelton were to die today? What would people be saying? Or Paul Kidwell, or Truman Smith, or Harry Beatty, or Virgil Zorn, or Betty Stewart, or Jody Shelton, or Mickey McBride. He or she had what testimony? What would people say? I want you to know, it's good to start right, but it's greater to finish right. And have this testimony. By the way, when you have a testimony of trusting the Lord and putting your faith in the Lord, you know what it's going to do? It's going to help your family that's left behind. Because there's going to be a day, if the Lord doesn't return, you're going to be lying in a casket. And when they walk by, if you've lived your life for the Lord, I'm going to tell you something. I know we're saved by grace through faith, but it's going to help them to realize this man or this woman's in heaven. Because they proved their faith. They said they were saved and they lived a life. There's a lot of people that say they're saved, and they may be saved, but I'll tell you one thing. You can't tell it by the life they live. And you know what you find at their gravesite? A lot of discomfort, a lot of worry, a lot of nervousness. But when somebody claims to know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, and they live a life proving their faith in Christ, I've been to so many funerals. And I've been to every kind you can think of. I've been to people that absolutely did not know the Lord Jesus as Savior. As the most chaotic funerals I've ever been a part of. People just all to pieces. Then I've been to those that claimed to know the Lord but didn't really live their life with the Lord, and there was like this uncertainty. But then I've had the blessed privilege of holding funerals, being at funerals where somebody claimed to know the Lord Jesus Christ and lived their days honoring Him. And you'd go in, there wouldn't be laughter, but you could see a smile on a face. You could see peace in people's lives. The only time you wouldn't see peace is for those that don't know the Lord and they don't have an understanding of what death is all about. Death is not defeat for the Christian. Amen. It's victory. Enoch had this testimony before he was translated. It wasn't his translation that caused him to say he pleased God, because the Bible says before his translation, he had this testimony, he pleased God. So it was while he was living. So now, let's not consider, what are people going to say when we die? Let's ask, what would people say about us now? He had this testimony, that he pleased God. We've seen that he walked with the Lord, he worked for God, then he went with God. But how did he do it? Why did he do it? Well, the Bible tells us here in chapter number 5, he did it by faith. By faith, Enoch. Isn't that what the Bible says? By faith, Enoch was translated, he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him before. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Why did he do it? Why did he do it by faith? Because the Bible says, without faith, it's impossible. It's impossible to please him. That's why faith is so important. That's why faith has to be real. What's your testimony? Is it that we please God? If so, how do we do it? We do it by faith. The just shall live by faith. Are we pleasing God by the life we live? Are we living by faith? Your walk with God begins by faith that He is. For the Bible says, without faith it's impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is. So it begins by putting in your faith in the fact that He is who the Bible says He is. Then your work for God is by faith that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. And by the way, when you put your faith in God, by faith you trust the Lord, you'll be just like Enoch one day. Just as Enoch went with God, you'll go to God and be with Him. Do you know Jesus as your Savior? Are you trusting Christ and Christ alone? Are you trusting church membership? Are you trusting water baptism? Are you trusting good deeds? Or are you trusting Christ? You have to trust Christ by grace through faith. If you've trusted Christ, what's your testimony? What would people say? Look, we all have our enemies that never say anything right or good about us. But for those of us we go to church with, we live with, people in our family, what would they say about us? Today's a day where we just need to examine our lives. First of all, we need to know that we know Christ by faith as our Savior. Secondly, we need to ask ourselves, are we working for God? And are we walking with God? Are we doing with our lives what God wants us to do? And is our testimony the right kind of testimony? He had this testimony, that he pleased God. Let's bow for a word of prayer. Father, we love you. We thank you for loving us. I pray that you'll help us as we come to this time of invitation, as we've looked at the life of this great man, Enoch. Well, we don't know a whole lot about his life as far as lots of verses in your word. But Lord, we realize by the life he lived and by what few things you said, Lord, that he was a man that had a wonderful testimony. I pray for those that are here today that do not know Christ as Savior. Lord, I pray that they'll have an understanding of their need to, by faith, trust thee, put their faith in thee. For those of us that are saved, I pray that you'll help us to give much attention to our testimony. What others would say while we're living, while we're walking here in this world. Lord, may we have that testimony that we please Thee. Lord, please direct us now in this time of invitation. We give it to Thee in Christ's name. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, before we begin to play the piano, I want to ask you a couple of questions. If you're here this morning, you say, "Preacher, I'm saved. No doubt about it. I'm not saying I'm perfect, but there's been a day in my life where I put my faith in Jesus Christ.